I'm just sitting here drinking my Mountain Dew Star Spangled Splash. The listeners aren't gonna know that we recorded these episodes out of order, but I'm gonna be drinking this Mountain Dew Star Spangled Splash. Oh shit, the mic's on. I'm gonna take another bite of one of these pink lemonade Kit Kats, if you don't mind, here.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome, listeners, to a bone-chilling episode of Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jeff Searcy.
I'm Jay Logsden.
Tonight, we delve into a true story that will leave you questioning the darkness around you. This is the tale of the Bell Witch, a sinister entity that terrorized a family in Tennessee in the early 19th century.
Ooh.
I invite you to join me as we uncover the horrifying events that plagued the Bell family. Be warned, Jay, this story is not for the faint of heart.
Oh, well, I better leave the room then.
I was going to say, Jay has to leave. Hold on a second.
More Foley sounds.
Yes,
walking.
We really need a Foley artist in here, Jay. You got to get that in the budget.
Also, man, I don't. How about those whose heart has recently grown 3 sizes?
Oof. Damn. I mean, you know, there's always these things, Jay, where you got to wonder. It's like these things they talk about in these fairy tales, if they actually happened to somebody, how painfully and horrible their death would be.
Well, that might come up on next week's episode.
Maybe.
Teaser.
But yes, our story begins, Jay, in 1817, when John Bell, a prosperous farmer, moved his family to the Red River area in Robertson County, Tennessee. The Bell family consisted of John, his wife Lucy, and their children. They built themselves a new home, unaware of the darkness that would soon envelop their lives. So basically, this was in 1817, depending on who you ask. 1817 to 1818 is when the family moved to this area.
Okay.
This is one of the most well-preserved American haunting legends, I think, ever. There's actually an entire manuscript from a priest that was in this area detailing the events.
Oh my gosh.
So to understand the full impact of the Bell Witch haunting, we first have to understand the Bell family and the time in which they lived. They were well respected in their community. John Bell had acquired about 300 acres of farmland in the Red River area, and he worked to cultivate it. They were a slave-owning family, which some people believe may have played into the events to come.
Ooh.
But yes, they were the typical kind of frontier family of the time. They had the challenges of being isolated out from away from civilization and far from hope and help. But life in the early 18th century was pretty hard overall compared to how we have it today. But the Bells were able to make their farm into a thriving business. The only thing that family did as an activity really was attend church regularly. They were known by their neighbors, however, to be very friendly. They would have people over for dinner and things like that, help out people who needed it, because John Bell was like the richest man in this area. Like, there's stories about him repairing a neighbor's wagon or loaning them food, things like that.
Okay.
But yes, their idyllic life would come to an end when a sinister force began to plague the family. It began innocently. At first, there were just some noises at night, knocking on the walls, scratching sounds, whispers out of earshot. The family just kind of dismissed it. But soon the disturbances became impossible to ignore. As the weeks passed, the noises grew louder and more frequent. Objects began to move on their own. The family started to feel an oppressive presence whenever they were awake in the house. The children reported seeing strange animals around the property. Large birds with a human face.
Ooh, creepy.
A black dog with glowing red eyes, which John Bell shot at and thought he had hit, but when he went to check it out, there was nothing there.
Oh, that's always one of my favorite things.
But they were, by this point, they were pretty afraid and not really sure what to do. So one night, John decided he'd had enough, and he was going to go outside and see if he could confront whatever was haunting his family.
Okay.
And as soon as he went outside, the presence kind of left, and there was nothing there. Just, it was dark, and it was very... He said in the report that the neighbors wrote down about this, he said that he knew something was wrong because it was silent at night. And, I mean, you know, around a river in a rural area, it's never silent at night.
Oh, yeah, there'll be, like, frogs chirp. Yeah. Frogs don't chirp, they ribbit.
They'll say, frogs are going to be making noises, you're going to be hearing, like, owls hooting, stuff like that. But, yes, it was dead silent. So this really frustrated John, and this is when he kind of had enough. And him getting angry about this seemed to escalate what was going on. The entity began to physically assault the children, especially targeted Betsy, the youngest daughter. She was pinched, scratched, and beaten by invisible hands.
Jesus.
Her cries of pain would echo throughout the house, and the neighbors could hear her screaming at night. And John, at this point, desperate because his daughter is being tortured by this thing, sought the help of friends and neighbors. People came and tried to examine, which we're going to get to some eyewitness accounts and testimony later on. But a number of neighbors, including a local preacher, came to try to investigate and see what was going on. And it kind of gained local fame. Like, people came to see it, like modern haunted areas or whatever. They're like, oh, let's see if we can go see the spirit.
Right. No, absolutely.
Among those who investigated the haunting was supposedly General Andrew Jackson, who would later become president of the United States.
I think so. My knowledge of this is very limited, but that is something that, like, I was aware of. Like, there's this weird like thing where it's like, yeah, a future president just went to this, like, haunted location.
Well, he had heard so much about it. He's like, you know, maybe I should go see what this is about. But apparently he tried to march a group of his soldiers out to the farm to investigate. And before they could cross the property line of the Bell Farm, something spooked their horses so badly they wouldn't continue on.
That's wild.
And so he gave up on trying to investigate because he just basically his quote was something to the effect of, well, if it can stop our horses from this far away, I definitely don't want to get into the house.
I mean, yeah, I get that.
So, you know, using a rare common sense approach to horror.
Well, that's their problem. I'm going back.
Yep. But so the entity's torment continued on for years. After John Bell confronted and taunted it those years ago, it seemed to focus a lot on him and the daughter Betsy. It was officially labeled on his death certificate as his cause of death. Supernatural poisoning, I believe.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
The cause of death. But people in the room with him when he died on his deathbed claimed to hear a voice from a direction they could not identify say, "You will never escape me, John Bell," as he died.
Ooh.
But after his death, the disturbances lessened, but they never completely ceased. The Bell Witch left a lasting mark on the family and the community. It kind of remains a shadow over that area of Tennessee. You can go visit an area called the Bell Witch Cave, which people believe may have been the place that the spirit was killed for being a witch.
Okay.
And that's where the haunting originated.
So but, do they have any idea, like, who the witch was, or?
Emily was the name that some people associated with the witch. But, so, for further insight, Dr. Amanda Green, a historian specializing in early American folklore, shared her thoughts. The Bell Witch haunting is one of the most well-documented cases of its kind. The accounts from the Bell family and their neighbors provide a compelling narrative of a supernatural entity with an intent to harm. She is one of the proponents that it may have been a woman named Emily Little.
Okay.
Who was killed in that area for people believing she was a witch.
Okay. So, that's what I was curious about. Like, yes. did they just like, oh, there's a ghost and it's a witch, or did they actually have proof that there was like a person that they thought might be connected to this?
It seems like, to me anyway, from what I've read about it, it was either like a, would have been like a poltergeist type situation or a demon. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because the level of harm this thing can inflict when we get into some of the interviews seems to be pretty extreme. Tom Hamilton, a local historian who leads tours on the Bell Witch legend, sees it as just a piece of local folklore that's been passed down through the generations. He called it the most amazing American ghost story ever told. He also subscribes, the most likely theory is a cursed soul seeking revenge, because the Emily story also has a different version told among African-American populations of the area.
Okay.
That Emily was a slave who escaped from the Bell Farm and was beaten by an overseer, which John Bell later had executed for being particularly brutal to the slaves.
Okay.
So she may have been coming back to get revenge based on that. But again, that's just conjecture. No one's really sure the origin. Let's see. Get some of these eyewitness accounts. But yes, after John's death, the family really had a lot less problems with it as the youngest grew up. But when she went to get married, the entity returned and was apparently opposed to her marrying this man she was trying to get engaged to.
Weird.
I know. But yes, it left a deep scar on the family. Betsy, who we were talking about just a moment ago, eventually moved away from the area. But the torment of those early days of her life pretty much ruined the rest of her life, it seems like. She's never really the same afterwards. But the Bellwitch Cave, located near the farm, remains a popular site for paranormal tours. Visitors there claim to hear whispers and feel cold, oppressive presences in the cave. Got some interviews here. So these are interviews by the person keeping the records of this. There were some interviews with the family children. So to fully understand the terror experienced by the Bell family, you have to hear from the most affected people, the Bell children. Their first-hand accounts provide chilling details of their encounters with the Bell Witch. The first interview is with Betsy Bell, the youngest daughter who bore the brunt of the attacks. She said, "It started with noises, knocking and scratching on the walls. At first we thought it was maybe animals or maybe the wind, but it got worse. The noises turned into whispers. The whispers sounded like a woman's voice, but cold and cruel, devoid of all emotion." The interviewer asked, "What did the whispers say?" She said, "They called me names, said awful things about our family and the way we lived. One night I woke up with the feeling of being watched. I opened my eyes and she was standing at the foot of my bed, a dark figure. I couldn't make out her face. I tried to scream, but no sound came out. She just stood there, fixing me with a hollow-eyed stare. Next, she started to hurt me. I could feel her hands pinching and slapping me, but there was no one there. I had bruises and scratches all over my body. My parents tried to protect me, but nothing seemed to work. Her presence was always there. I could always feel like she was looking over my shoulder." The next interview was with John Bell Jr., the eldest son. He said, "It was different for me. The witch seemed to enjoy tormenting Betsy and my father the most, but she didn't leave the rest of us alone by any means. I would hear my name called from empty rooms constantly, and when I would go to investigate, there would be nothing there. Sometimes I felt like there was a cold hand on my shoulder, but when I turned around, there was nothing there." The interviewer asked if he ever saw the witch. He said, "I did once. I was in the barn checking on the animals. It was late, and the air was suddenly thick with fog. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow moved. When I turned, I saw her, a dark figure with piercing eyes. She whispered something I couldn't make out and then vanished. The animals would not sleep for the rest of the night."
Terrifying.
he said, "We tried to stay strong for each other, but it was difficult. My father was determined to protect us, but the witch was relentless. We prayed, we sought help from friends and neighbors, but nothing seemed to affect her at all. We lived in constant fear." Our final interview was with Richard Bell, the middle child. He said, "It was like a living nightmare. The worst part was the feeling of helplessness. One night I woke to the sound of Betsy screaming. I ran to her room, but when I got there, the door slammed shut in my face. I could hear her crying inside, but I couldn't get to her. I heard a mocking laugh from the other side. It really made us feel powerless." He said, I only had one personal encounter with the witch. I was alone in the kitchen trying to get a drink of water. The room grew cold. The air felt heavy. I saw a shadow move across the wall, and then I felt a stabbing pain in my side. I fell to the floor clutching my side, but when I looked, nothing was there. My side felt cold for the next day, and it's never really felt the same since.
Weird.
He said, we relied on each other. My father, despite being the main target, never gave up trying to protect us. We all took turns watching over Betsy at night. We tried to stay strong, but in the end, we were fighting a losing battle. So there's also an exclusive account. I have a friend named Mike who is a genealogist. So when I was reading about this stuff, I was curious if any of the Bell family members survived to this day. And yes, there was an Elizabeth Bell, a cousin who stayed with the family during the haunting, and her great-grandson is still alive.
Okay.
And so reaching out to him, there are a few entries in Elizabeth Bell's journal that he's made available to a few authors who've published books about this. I was able to get a copy of those. So this is the Elizabeth Bell account of what happened at the farm.
Okay.
So October 12th, 1819, the air is thick with a sense of dread tonight. John and Lucy try to maintain a facade of normalcy, but the fear is palpable. I hear Betsy crying softly in her room. The marks of the witch's torment are visible on her pale skin. I offered to stay with Betsy tonight in her room, hoping my presence might bring her some comfort. As I sat by her bedside reading softly to her, I felt an icy chill sweep through the room. The candles all went out, and the shadow seemed to dance with a life of its own, and in my head I could hear nothing but echoing laughter. Betsy clutched my hand. Her eyes were wide with terror. "She's here," she whispered. I tried to reassure her, but my words felt hollow, given what was going on. Suddenly, the room was filled with a deafening roar as if a great wind had been unleashed. The bed shook violently, and we were both thrown to the floor. As we struggled to regain our footing, a dark figure emerged from the shadows. Her cold stare and gnarled fingers left nothing to my imagination that this must be the witch that Betsy spoke so much about. I felt an invisible force choking me in her presence, as if being in her presence would kill me. Just when I thought I couldn't endure any more, the figure vanished, leaving us gasping and sobbing on the floor. Betsy was beside herself with fear, and I was too shaken to offer any real comfort. I now understand the true horror of this place and the relentless evil that resides here. That was her journal entry about the experience.
Yeah, so like you've been talking it, and so I was like, well, this has got it. Like I said, the only thing I really knew was that thing about Andrew Jackson. But I've been sitting here and I'm like, this sounds like The Conjuring, right?
Yeah, it does sound a lot like
and,
that.
And so I went and kind of like looked at that. And I was like, well, that's got it. You know, that this has got to be what the first Conjuring movie is based off of. No, that's something completely different. But also knowing that the Warrens were complete and utter frauds does make you wonder if maybe they had read some of these accounts and then they were like, yeah, it happened in this farm too. Something very similar because a lot of that stuff. I'm like, that's The Conjuring. Like,
I know.
That's what happens in The Conjuring.
That's what struck me too reading that. So her journal actually has another entry continued on October 20th, 1819. Desperation at the attack has driven us to seek answers from the witch herself. We gathered in the parlor with a neighbor who is knowledgeable in the occult, with candles lit and hearts heavy with trepidation. John Bell, determined to protect his family, called out the witch, demanding to know why she tormented us. He said, "Why do you haunt us? What do you want?" The air grew colder and the room fell silent, and then a voice, cold and distant, echoed through the house. "I am here to bring justice. The sins of the past cannot be forgiven."
Ooh.
We were stunned, unable to comprehend the meaning of the witch's words. John tried to press further, but the voice would speak no more, leaving us with more questions than answers. So, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
So, the legend of the Bell Witch, of course, grows darker as you investigate more, like we spoke about earlier, possible slavery connection. I mean, either way, whether she was an escaped slave woman or not, somebody being murdered for being a quote-unquote witch is still a horrible thing to happen.
No, absolutely, yeah.
But as we bring this to a close, I think we should reflect on the impact that this would have on a family. Could you even imagine trying to go through something like this?
No, it'd be fucking terrible. Like, oh my gosh, you don't know how to explain it. And like, I mean, you know, like you and I have said before, like we're always kind of like, we're open to the ideas of these things, but we're not, you know, unless we saw actual proof, I don't know if we'd believe it. But it's one of those things where like, no, if this started happening, you'd be really concerned.
There is also a theory. Cherokee tribes used to inhabit this area. And there was, in 1838, a Cherokee medicine man was questioned about the area. And he said that it was used as a burial ground.
Okay.
I believe the Cherokee did have, up and down the East Coast, they did have some burial grounds. But if that is true, that could also be a reference talking about the sins of the past can't be forgiven.
Yep.
Because the Cherokee were rather brutally handled with the Trail of Tears, which also involved Andrew Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that would be a weird connection back to. But, yeah, that's wild. No, because what I did was, while you're talking, I went and kind of I did a cursory search. And I was like, well, what movies is this based off of? Because I'm like, it's got to be The Conjuring, right? It's not. You know, like we said, it's like the Blair Witch Project and then like a handful of like movies titled like Bell Witch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was, I think, an American Haunting, you know, and so those are, yeah, the Blair Witch Project is clearly very loosely kind of based on the idea.
Yes.
But I think I've seen American Haunting. All that to say, I was just kind of sitting there like, it has to be The Conjuring, right? That has to be what this is. And I was just shocked to learn it wasn't.
Things of, yeah, it's like so many of these elements have been used in other movies that, yes, a lot of it when I was reading it felt familiar to me. But I couldn't, yeah, I definitely had The Conjuring stick out to me. And yeah, I did have some other horror movies pop into my mind. But honestly, I'm surprised there hasn't been like a Blumhouse version of this made.
I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure as they're looking for ideas.
Oh, yes. The legend of the Bell Witch endures to this day, a haunting reminder that sometimes the past refuses to stay buried. The tale of the Bell family and their torment at the hands of a malevolent entity continues to intrigue and terrify people to this day. So as I bring this dive into a true haunting to a close, we can reflect on the fact that the Bell Witch haunting stands as one of America's most enduring and well-documented ghost stories. The Bell family's ordeal serves as a stark warning that unknown forces could be lurking in the shadows. Anything to add, Jay?
No, other than like what you said, I mean, just thinking about like, yeah, how would you deal with that? Like, do you just move the house?
Yeah.
Or like, do you just get up and move? Like, what do you do when something like that happens?
That seems to be the solution. But yeah, at the time, it really wasn't an option for them because they had invested so much into this farm. It's like we would lose everything if we left.
No, it's just it would be truly terrifying.
It's the fact that John Bell has a supernatural death on his death certificate was pretty interesting.
Well, the door closing and just hearing the voices and multiple people hearing them, like I could just picture that in a movie, like, you know, you're in one room, you know, the kids in the other room, like, or like, you know, the main actor or actress, and then the door just slams shut and they can't open it. You just hear like a voice and like the child screaming. Like that'd be creepy as shit if that happened in real life.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for joining us, listeners, on this journey. Remember, some places are best left unexplored. Some questions are best left unanswered. The story of the Bell Witch is a chilling reminder that there are mysteries in the world that may never be fully understood. Until next time, I've been Jeff Searcy.
I'm Jay Logsdon.
Don't listen to the whispers in the dark.
Or do.
Or, I mean, I guess it depends on what they say. But beware.
And don't watch out for the thing on the doorstep and other H.P. Lovecraft titles of books.
Anyway, if you'd like more deep dives into true ghost stories, let me know. I'd be happy to do some more.
Yeah, let's do that. No, that's awesome. We also did that. My wife and I went to Villisca. That was neat. We could talk about maybe going to the axe murder house.
That would be an interesting conversation.
Also, before we fully wrap up here, Jeff, you know, this is our hill. These are our beans.
Yes, that's true.
It's time for another
garbage day.
Huh?
No.
Are you going to do garbage day again? Oh, no. I've been tricked.
I know it's an unprecedented thing for a garbage day to appear on a stocking stuffer.
I think, honestly, Jay, I believe I'm being oppressed by a malevolent entity named Garbage Day. Oh, you got the blue one.
I got Mountain Dew Liberty Chill to try.
I've been tricked. I've been bamboozled. I've been smeckledor. That's not even a word, and I agree with you.
And I got Mike and Ike Red, White, and Blue, I assume for France or whatever the hell our joke
Bastille
has been.
Bastille Day, yes.
Liberty Chill has the Statue of Liberty on it. Yes. And I don't know, like a motorcycle girl riding a motorcycle.
I believe that's supposed to be the walking Lady Liberty from the like American silver coins.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to get a red one, a white one, and a blue one here.
That sounds like a good plan.
Well.
All right, here we go.
I don't know why they're so sticky.
I don't know. What's Jay Logsman been doing to this candy over here? I don't know if I should trust this. They've got a pretty cool packaging. Vanilla ice cream, cherry pie, and blueberry cobbler are the flavors, Jay.
Oh, that's why that blue tastes so weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's all stuck in my teeth, too.
On the back, it says you can adopt a soldier platoon if you want to, Jay.
Oh, cool. We could adopt a soldier platoon. Make them listen to our podcast.
Yep. Be like, we'll give you some money, but you have to listen to the show. And I'll be like, we'll pass. Oh, my God. These things are so hard to chew, Jay.
No, they're hard to chew, and they don't taste great.
No. Honestly, though, I think the vanilla one's my favorite.
I think the red one's my favorite, but.
But yeah, nothing amazing.
I think if we were rating these based off of how much they taste like the thing they're supposed to taste like, the vanilla one tastes like vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
I think if we were rating these off of how much I enjoy it, the red one's my. I think the red one tastes the best.
Okay.
The blue one is absolutely the worst, though.
Hmm.
At least for my money. All right, let's wash it down with some Liberty Dew.
Yes, I also do not like the blue one. All right, here we go.
Liberty Chill, I guess. 50 flavors in one Dew. I think they've done this one before. I think it used to be called Liberty Brew.
Yeah.
And now it's Liberty Chill.
It's good. I like it.
You know what? Weirdly, that tastes like a handful of Mike and Ike's.
Yeah. Weird. Weird, right?
Weird that one tastes more like Mike and Ike's than the box of Mike and Ike's tastes like Mike and Ike's.
Honestly, I don't remember what number it was, but it reminds me of one of the Voodoos.
I could see that, yeah. No, that's, but yeah, I think that one's my favorite. I don't know if that one's my favorite. I still really enjoyed the white one, but like all three of these are solid. I think I'd go red's certainly the weakest.
Yeah.
And then I'd probably go...
I think it goes red, blue, white for me.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. That white one is really, really good.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty.
None of them are bad. Kind of the same thing we said previously, or I guess in the future.
Yes. What do you mean, Jay? We haven't talked about the mean one yet.
Speaking of which, our next episode is the mean one. We spun the wheel. It popped up with the mean one. And we've totally not recorded that episode first.
No, we would never do that, Jay. Why would we do that?
But yeah, get in touch with us about us being time travelers.
Gmail.com. Jay's trying to run away, but I am also the game master.
Oh, shit.
The game master has possessed me. I do not do fuck, marry, kill misses.
Okay.
I do Jay Logsdon has to take a BuzzFeed quiz.
Oh, shit.
Answer these questions about horror movies, Jay, and we'll guess your zodiac sign.
Oh, boy.
All right, here we go. What time of day do you prefer to watch horror movies, Jay? Daytime, late night, whenever you can, or never?
I mean, man, that's weird. I mean, I would watch horror movies all the time, but I'm probably more often than not, like, nighttime.
Late night? Okay. Got that. All right. Pick a horror movie trope, Jay. The jump scare, the car won't start, the ending with a twist, or the clumsy escapes.
I would say not the jump scare. not the ending with a twist.
I was going to say, if I was guessing for you, I'd say either the car won't start or the clumsy escape.
Yeah, I do enjoy the car won't start, but I think the clumsy escape's probably me.
Okay.
I enjoy, like, a person running away and, like, you know, they're all beaten up and the killer's just walking behind them.
Pick your favorite horror archetype villain. The scary clown, the creepy kid, the ghost, or the possessed doll.
Oh, man. Shit. Okay, let's see. Probably not the creepy kid. I mean, I love a creepy kid when it's Damien, yeah. but most of the time.
There's some good creepy kids out there, but yeah, I could see that not being your favorite.
Like the children, not, you know, wasn't a big hit. Yeah. Like I mean, also,
I don't know about you, but the creepy clowns kind of played out for me.
Yeah, I mean, I inherently don't like clowns.
Yeah.
Sorry, and I think I would probably go with that, but I do think it has played out.
So what are you going to do, Jay?
I think I'm going to have to go clown because I don't like clowns.
All right. Pick a genre.
But I do agree that it has played out.
Pick a genre to go with your horror, Jay. Fantasy, comedy, romance, or psychological?
Out of those, comedy.
Comedy, okay.
Christmas. Christmas is my
yes,
genre.
Yes, I know. That's your genre. Pick a horror film director for your movie, Jay. Jordan Peele, M. Night Shyamalan, Alfred Hitchcock, or Tim Burton?
Oh, out of those, I guess.
None of these are jumping out at me as great horror.
I was hoping for John Carpenter or Wes Craven.
Alfred Hitchcock is more of a thriller director.
Yeah, I think, man, it's not going to be M. Night Shyamalan.
No. I mean, I think...
And it's not going to be Tim Burton.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think out of these people, the two best directors are definitely Hitchcock and Peele.
If I'm making a horror comedy with a killer clown... I'm probably going to have Jordan Peele be the director because he is very, very funny.
Alfred Hitchcock did have some wit about his movies, too. But yeah, I could see going with Peele. Pick a horror movie franchise, Jay. Final Destination, Halloween, Scream, or The Conjuring?
Okay, well, The Conjuring is straight out. I'm sure we've mentioned enough times how I dislike The Conjuring universe as a whole and find it very silly.
Yes.
So that one's out. So you said Scream, Final Destination, or what was the other one?
Halloween.
It's Halloween. Scream's the one that I have a hard time saying that it's not Scream, but it's got to be Halloween.
I know your wife would definitely pick Scream.
She would.
Pick an Indian horror movie, Jay. You know any Indian horror movies?
I do not.
We have Boot, which appears to be about a vampire. We have Tomb Bad Bad, which looks like a man stuck in a mine. We have... Bhool Bhaiya, which has some kind of weird demon thing on it.
Okay.
And we have Stree, which looks like a zombie movie.
Well, I was really hoping it would be that. I think there is an Indian Christmas horror movie.
No, but no.
Let's go with the guy trapped in a mine. That sounds creepy.
Okay. Trapped alive again. pick your favorite Halloween costume, Jay. The serial killer, the werewolf, the sheet ghost, or the witch?
Oh, classic sheet ghost.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Based on your choices, Jay, you are either... Well, this is a cop-out. Didn't even guess. It gave you three choices. Anyway, you're either a Taurus, a Virgo, or a Capricorn.
I'm none of those.
That's what I thought. I was like, that doesn't even sound like that's right. Fucking BuzzFeed.
Yeah, I'm a Leo. I don't know what I would need to get to be a Leo, but that's what I am.
Wasting our fucking time with this shit. All right, well, you know what? We'll do it one more time, and I'll do it.
All right, let's see what Jeff wants.
We'll see if it can guess me correctly. All right, I usually watch horror movies late at night. My favorite horror movie trope, I think, for me, has to be the car won't start, because every time it does, I'm like, oh, of course it won't. the horror movie villain for me, I don't know. I like a good creepy kid. A genre to go with my horror. I like fantasy horror. It doesn't come around very often, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think out of the directors to choose, I would have to go with Hitchcock, I think. My favorite horror franchise out of these would probably be Scream. Favorite Indian horror movie, which again, we're just going to have to go based on the posters. I'm a vampire fan, so I'm going to go with Boot.
All right.
Halloween costume, I've always wanted to go as a werewolf.
Santa Claus. Werewolf Santa Claus.
Yeah. No, werewolf Santa would be great. It did not guess me correctly. It says, you're an air sign. You're either a Gemini, a Libra, or an Aquarius, and I am also a Leo.
Yeah, I think BuzzFeed doesn't know shit.
BuzzFeed doesn't know shit. We both answered the quiz completely opposite ways and didn't guess either one of our signs. Disappointed! All right, well, now that that Game Master ambush is over, we can end the show, Jay.
Get in touch with us on social media. Send us a thing for Garbage Day. Spare Jeff's taste buds or whatever.
Yes, my poor taste buds are constantly assaulted by this garbage.
Horror for the holidays at gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, X, formerly known as Twitter. at horror, the number four holidays. Also, add us on a... PlayStation or whatever. I think it's the same thing. Horror the number four holidays.
Yes. YouTube.com/horror for the holidays. Subscribe, hit the bell, leave us comments, discuss, take the BuzzFeed quiz and tell us if it guessed you correctly or not.
Yeah, we'll have to put it in the comments of the YouTube video. Once again, our movie for next week. Subscribe on your podcatcher choice or whatever.
Yeah, and leave us the 5-star hate reviews.
Yeah,
we all know.
Yeah, tell us how shitty we are, 5 stars. Yeah. Like we said, our next episode is The Mean One. So if you want to watch that, if you like to watch before you listen, go check out The Mean One.
Yes, check it out. It's pretty good. And buy a Blu-ray copy if you enjoy it, because like we said, there's no telling when it could disappear again.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff. But we also haven't said any of those things yet.
No, Jay, we're in the past. We're time travelers, people.
We'll see you again. With The Mean One next, and then another stocking stuffer after that.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Finch! Mike Finch!
Again!